Stay Connected podcast on 93.5. My name is Jared Eastman, and instead of me talking today about esports, I'm going to have an expert, a Cloud9 head coach, coming in today to tell you all about it. If you want to learn about esports, though, you can on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com under the Stay Connected podcast tab. But for now, let's give a big round of applause to Mithy, the current head coach of Cloud9.
I am Mithy, and I'm the head coach for Cloud9.
And you were also a former player as well. You were a player for a long time in EU, right?
Yes, I've been doing League for like 10 years now or something like that, like very long time. I played for around 7 years, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so you've seen it all.
Yeah, I played in Europe. I played in America. I won some. I lost a lot more. But it was a fun career, yeah. And, now I'm coaching.
You were a support player. Did you always, like, play support? Or, you know, when you started, did you jump around roles a little bit?
Like, I jumped around roles for fun, like, as a fan. Because, like, I would play a champion that I, like, from a player that I thought they were very good at a specific champion. But... When I started playing League, I intentionally chose what at the time was the easiest role to become a professional on, because I started late. I started like 3 years after the game was created, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think everybody usually starts at support to like learn game, and then, as you said, it's the easiest to become pro. And your favorite champions, they were Alistar, Blitzcrank, and Thresh. Are those still your favorite champions now?
I would say so. I think Rakan is also up there. That champion wasn't really there when I first like started playing.
Okay.
It took me a while to pick up. But yeah, Rakan is quite fun. But yeah, those three are definitely like still my top three.
Are you a Yuumi hater like most other people?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. That champ. I don't know who was designing that champ. I like the idea of like having a cat in the game, but yeah, the way the champion is designed, that's helping for the game.
That's great. All right. Well, Cloud9 this year was on the cusp of making history again as one of the few teams to win the LCS championship in a row. However, they were unfortunately stopped. But what kind of emotions was going through your team for before the game and after the game?
I think that we had a little bit of, I wouldn't say me necessarily, but it did feel like everyone was like very, very confident. They've been winning a lot, and practice has been going very well. So there was like a sense of entitlement, and not in extreme entitlement, but you know, like just like, you know, we are Cloud9, we win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you guys have been the champions. You guys have made a huge presence on the international stage as well. So I think there's some bragging rights that is certainly allowed.
Yeah. So it was more about that, and then yeah, I mean. That was it. Like, everyone is just super excited to play a final. You know, it's like, it is still like a very, it's seldom opportunity, you know, like, I mean, these guys are used to it by now, but it's not easy to make a final in the first place. And that's something that is also like, should be celebrated a little bit. So, you know, just playing in front of a crowd and stuff, like everyone was just excited.
That's good.
Was fun.
You mentioned practice. For those unaware, what is the routine of like a professional esports player to maintain that high degree of skill?
So for Cloud9, right? Like we think like you know, physical health is a very important part. So we have the guys be here at like 10, and then they start. So we have like a 1 hour like a training session, like just physical training session. Then they go back, they shower, they come back here at 11:30, and then we start, like, we have a little meet, like pre-practice meeting where we, you know, practice is basically we play like a mock game against against another opponent where we practice different things, you know, like work on different things, and then that lasts for like 6 hours or so.
Wow.
So we start like we go from like 12 to 5 plus meetings and so on.
Yeah.
And then the guys will go back home for the most part, and they will start working on like their individual ability. So then they start practicing solo queue, which is like, you know, I mean, you know what it is. It's like they just online. They get teamed up with other players of similar skill level than them. And then they just like they develop a little bit their individual mechanics. Like the game is less strategically focused.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
As a general rule, we expect the guys to be, you know, tuned into League of Legends for around 10 hours a day minimum.
Wow.
For them to keep up, like, you know, to keep being the best, like, requirement wise, they need to play like 5 hours, 5-6 hours with the team, plus like the meetings. So that's like an 8 hour job, right?
Yeah.
But if they want to keep up their level of play, they need to do I would say at least 10 hours.
Wow, that's insane. But exactly, that's what you got to do to keep on learning.
It's one of the bad things of, you know, not being so physically impaired. You know, like another athlete would be able to like compete in a different game. You know, they got to rest, so everyone's kind of limited by the amount of rest that you have to put, and you know how much you work. Is not really that relative as to how well you play to a certain degree because you can get injured so easily. Whereas in esports, you can still get injured, of course, but it's not as common. Like, you really have to not do anything for your health for that to happen. If you're careful, you're like sitting down, you do your stretches, you work out, you lift weights like carefully, and you eat properly, it's very unlikely that you get very injured unless your posture, for example, when you're playing is bad.
Yeah. You guys are always learning in esports. What was some of the takeaways that you had against NRG?
It was a little bit of a perfect storm for them. I think they had like a very good prep going into our game. They definitely had our number, like, to start things off. And I don't think our adaptation, like, in hindsight, obviously, I mean, yeah. Like, in the moment that... In the moment, we were not, you know, we were trying our best, but yeah, in hindsight, I think we could have adapted better to what they were throwing at us. And I think, you know, like once we start losing some games that we don't expect to lose, then things, like, you know, mentally, the guys like start, you know, being more hesitant, and that kind of impacts as well.
Yeah, mentality is definitely a huge thing to try and keep up. Were you guys expecting them to be as top focused as they were? Because they did quite a bit of ganks in the top lane, which I know your longtime friend Sven was not really expecting.
No, we were not. As a matter of fact, Dokla, in a matter of a week, he picked up two champions that he had been struggling with throughout the season, and that was something we targeted on the first series against them, and then on the second series against them, they seem to have it that like hole covered, and we were not ready for it because it didn't really show that against Team Liquid, even though they had a 5-game series, and it caught us a little bit off guard. But like I said, like, I mean, I think we could have adapted better as well to a lot of the things that were thrown at us. So.
Yes.
A little bit of both things, you know, like, but yeah, they definitely, it was more like they were top focused in a way where their support was moving top a lot. That's why probably Sven mentioned it. And that was like, you know, we were not used to that as much as, like, you know, the support staying bot and just laning with us.
Now, Cloud9 has made huge strides on the international stage. You guys have been in the past two Worlds with 2021 having made it to the quarterfinals, and even in 2018, making it all the way to the semifinals. Without giving too much of your strategy away, because obviously that would be bad, how is Cloud9 looking to shape up going into Worlds this year?
Yeah, I mean, Worlds is a very interesting tournament because a lot of it is also luck, like in the sense that, you know, like the general level of the teams, like the Asian teams is very, very high. Like, they're a lot more consistent. And sometimes it's like the way you beat them is like related to how the patch is going. Like, what's good in the current, like, you know, how the patch is, like how the game is kind of like changed, altered a little bit from month to month. And for every tournament, there's like a different patch. And like some patches are better for some players' strengths or team strengths than other patches. And that also kind of like, you know, makes some teams adapt better or worse to different patches. And so there's a little bit of luck involved in that. And, you know, when your team is not like a top team, then those things kind of add on to the outcome of what's going to happen at Worlds.
Yeah.
So for us, we don't know how the patch is going to look like yet. So We're just going to try. We're going to have a long time in Korea. We're going to do our best to get the guys on an individual level, like as close as possible to the Asian teams that practice in like a much better server.
Yeah.
And then once that is said and done, and we're at a pretty consistent level, then it's going to be about like, you know, creating consistency with our strategies. So we're going to have to see how that goes. Like to think of it in a similar way would be like, you know, the Asian teams, they so their server is like, they just have like three, four times the player base, and it's a lot less casual as well. The player base is less casual than in North America. Well, than in the West in general, in Europe as well. You know,
LEC is a lot more casual compared to LCK.
Yeah, there's the school friends hanging out and playing. Yeah, it's more about like the guys, like the kids are just like grinding hard from the get-go, and they see the fun in you know, being a top tier player. Whereas in the other regions, even if our player base were the same, the general, like, you know, the reason why they like the game is because they can get to play and hang out with their friends, you know. So it's like having the U.S. soccer team compete against Brazil, you know, on that one tournament. I mean, there's definitely a chance that they can win, but, you know, there needs to be like a perfect storm in a way.
Of course, so yeah. Anything can happen.
Yeah, yeah. Always something can happen, right? And so what we want to try and do is, you know, create like a good environment for us to thrive so that we can take on that, like that opportunity when it comes, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
As consistently as possible.
Now, going into a bit of your history, you know, you were on G2 for quite a bit, then you went to TSM, then you went to Origin, and then all the way head coach for Fnatic. And then you jumped over to the NA region where you spent some time with Cloud9 and then finally ended up in 100 Thieves for about a year. And then you came back to Cloud9, I believe it was in 2022. How did that experience of going from, you know, EU to even to 100 Thieves for the time you spent as a assistant head coach help you for this season?
So as a player, I won everything that there was to win in Europe. We did the three-peat, and the team was feeling very confident in the years to come. And, you know, at that time, franchising had just opened up in North America. So there was not a single player at the time that had won, like, both North America and European League of Legends tournaments. So I wanted to be the first person. I was very ambitious, you know, and that's why we went to NA, and it was definitely a pretty rough transition phase because, it's not the same to live in North America, to work with like a different, like it's slightly different culture. It's not like too big of a difference, but you know, it's different. And also because I was used to my teammates in the past, it's not really the culture of the country per se, but also like of my group of my team, you know, my sports team.
Yeah.
So it was a change, most definitely, and it was a hard adaptation. Went back to Europe, played another year, didn't do too great, and then I've always been pursuing coaching, so I took that opportunity when it arose to transition into coaching. And I mean, it wasn't easy. I was very used to being a player and having, you know, I don't know. It's just hard to be the boss man at first, so. I still struggle, right? So so it was a transition phase, and I went straight in like head first as a head coach because I had the experience as a player and I thought that would be okay. So when I went to 100 Thieves, it was just more like I just thought, you know what, maybe one, like I had a good opportunity there, the team looked good, and the head coach was like it was Reaper. He's a very, very super experienced guy that had been very successful, and I thought, you know what, like I'm going to take on the opportunity to learn from one of the best, you know, because I haven't had it before. And that's kind of how I decided to join 100 Thieves. And for Cloud9 itself, I think we've always been in close contact. Ever since I was a player, like in one of the world championships, I stayed around for like a week extra to just help out like some of the Cloud9 players after we got eliminated.
Yeah.
So I've always had a good relationship with Jack, like the boss of like the owner of Cloud9. And he's been nagging me to work with him for a very long time. And that's how I joined the first time around. And then you know, took the opportunity to join 100 Thieves because I didn't feel like I had done a good job in Cloud9, and they wanted to take a different direction. And then now I'm back here and still learning, you know, and still learning and still trying to to do what I can to be as consistent as possible and to get everyone as many wins as possible and make everyone happy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's got to be very easy, especially working with people that you work with for a long time. I mean, you and Sven, you guys have history together in EU and in NA together. So it's got to be definitely interesting now that you're kind of like the head coach and he's still the support.
Yeah, I mean, this is our second year now. There's been like most definitely some like dynamic issues, of course, but nothing that we can't work through, you know, and it's part of the growth as well. You know, he understands that. He'll probably make a great coach at some point, or a great, you know, like a veteran at some point that is going to also have to go through the same struggles that I'm going through with him right now. So I think he understands that. He's very mature about that, those kind of things. And you know, he makes my life very easy. It's not been too hard. Like, it's been chill.
Yeah, no. And speaking of like becoming a great like mentor and advice, what advice would you give to new pro players looking to make an impact in the LCS?
To new pro players, I think just be a good professional. Stay consistent, you know. Do your research. Don't get caught up with the noise of, you know, starting to get attention, or, you know, like having all the fans come, like, you know, don't feel like, the way I like to see it is, when you think you've won, you lost, if that makes sense. Like, when you feel like you've achieved
what
you want to achieve, that's when you start going downhill, you know. Like, you always want to keep striving to be better, keep staying on that, you know, consistent pattern of improvement, and, you know, do tweaks here and there, but, you know, just stay at it, you know. Try to be careful with your own health, mental and physical, you know, and just stay in it for the long run and enjoy yourself, enjoy the opportunity that you have.
To kind of follow up on that, and this will be the last question, obviously there's the big gap between NA and the LCK and the Asian teams. Do you feel the gap is getting closer to the LEC teams, though, being a former EU player?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wish we just had Western tournaments, to be honest with you. I think there's even a huge fan base that's to be explored in the Latin American regions, in Brazil. You know, that it's fantastic, and I just wish we could compete against those teams more, because they are a lot closer in skill and the games would be so much more exciting. I think this World Championship, they're going to change the format a little bit, so hopefully we see more of those games. But yeah, we're looking forward to any chance we get to fight against other Western teams.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. Thank you, Mithy, for meeting with me. It has been a great honor. I hope to speak with you again, and hopefully when you're the world champions.
Thank you very much. Yeah, appreciate it.
No problem. You have a fantastic day.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
We're going to take a quick break, but before we do that, if you want to listen back to anything you heard today, you can on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com. Under the podcast tab, it's the Stay Connected podcast. You can watch all of our other episodes to learn about the entire journey that Cloud9 made to becoming the runner-up of the LCS Championship. I mean, it was just a good run from Cloud9, and I expect them to do fantastic things in the future as well. It's Cloud9, but we're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Stay Connected podcast on 93.5. We are Fox Sports. Thank you once again, Mithy, for coming in and talking to me. This has been the Stay Connected podcast on 93.5. I'm really excited to see where Cloud9 goes from here. They have to talk about Worlds, of course. As you heard, it takes a lot of dedication to be an esports player. What did Mithy say? Like 10 hours a day goes into esports? That's insane. To maintain that level of skill as well, it's just impressive. There's nothing else you could call it. You know, Of course, it's not as hard sometimes as regular sports because that's a lot more of the physical implication, but the mental implication is just insane, and I don't know how these players do it. You got to have a tough will to do it. But I am super excited to be talking with him. I'm super excited to be hopefully talking to other players and other head coaches in the future. But for right now, we are going to end this off looking for next episode. What are we talking about? Well, I want to see what other teams haven't made it to Worlds yet and what teams are already slated in, because we can talk about some rosters, what I think is going to happen, what teams were in last year that did really good, what teams were in last year that got eliminated early and are looking for a comeback. I know one team in particular is Mad Lions. They were the team that lost to an NA team in the qualifiers. This year, no, they got their spot. There ain't no qualifiers for them. At least that's their hope. But we will talk about that next episode. This has been the Stay Connected podcast on 93.5. We're also going to talk about the new champion coming to League of Legends. We got her leaked info, I think a few days ago. It's been about a week, actually, since we got our leaked info. And I'm really excited because now Riot is, you know, they released the teaser trailer. They released what some of the abilities and what some of the stats and passives are going to do. It seems like a very interesting champion, mainly because, and we'll talk about this next episode, there is no base health regen. It is a full Omnivamp reliant champion. That's going to be interesting considering that they're going to be a jungler, it seems like. Wow. Wow. It's just a very interesting concept. And by the way, whoever made the splash art for her needs to be in jail. I'm kidding. But there has been some controversy. I wouldn't even call it controversy. Just the internet memeing on this new champion because of her splash art. And we'll talk about that next episode. As I said before, and I'll say it again, this has been the Stay Connected podcast on 93.5. My name is Jared Eastman. If you want to learn about esports, head on over to our website, foxsportsradionewjersey.com, under the podcast tab. This has been the Stay Connected podcast, and I hope you'll stay connected until the next episode.